Going Linux, Episode 19, Office Suites, the Advanced Episode. Welcome to the Going Linux Podcast. I'm your host, Larry Bushy.
And I'm your co-host, Tom.
Going Linux is a podcast for computer users who just want to use Linux to get things done.
This podcast is designed to provide you with practical, day-to-day advice on how to use Linux and get things done.
If you are new to Linux, moving to Linux, thinking about going Linux, then this podcast is for you.
In our user experience episodes, like this one, we take 2 months to cover a topic. During the first month, we provide an introduction to the topic. This is for new Linux users and recent converts. During month two, we discuss the topic from a more advanced perspective for users of Linux building their confidence and competence with the operating system.
And this is month two, so today's topic is Office Suites from an advanced perspective.
And as I said last time, I'm going to be learning a lot here. I haven't used Office Suites very much.
Yeah, that's okay. So will many of the members of our audience, Tom. Before we begin our discussion on Office Suites, I want to let our listeners know about a new Linux podcast I stumbled across while checking out the Podcast Alley comments for our podcast. Linux Basement is a podcast from Chad Wallenberg. Chad describes his podcast this way. Linux Basement is an informational podcast about Linux, open source software, and lots of other totally wacky, sweet technology. He really just talks about his Linux and open source adventures and provides tutorials as well. I'm pleased to hear that someone else is taking a practical attitude towards proprietary software, too. Maybe it has to do with living in a Windows environment for a number of years, but I agree with Chad that there's nothing wrong with using non-free software. I've put a link on our show notes to www.linuxbasement.com and on our resources page as well. I'm looking forward to hearing more about Linux servers from Chad, since I'm a desktop guy. I've subscribed to the Linux Basement podcast and have already posted to their forum.
Yeah, Chad's off to a great start. I listened to the historic episode 1, and I'm all ears, Chad. Back in my Windows days, I had a proprietary purchase program to run an FTP server for gamers. Darned if I could make it work in Ubuntu. I completely get what he meant by giving back to the community. That's what rocks about Linux. Anyway, thanks for diving in, Chad. The more the merrier. By the way, thanks for the vote and the comment on Podcast Alley.
Yes, and thanks to all of our listeners who continue to vote for us on Podcast Alley as well. So, last time, we talked about text editors and word processors. We touched on Office Suites as well. I'd like to spend this episode answering some of your questions, Tom, about Office Suites in general, but focus on OpenOffice, arguably one of the most popular Office Suites for Linux.
And for Windows. After all, OpenOffice is a cross-platform Office Suite.
You're absolutely right. OpenOffice.org works on both Linux and Windows, and the tips we discuss today will apply regardless of which operating system you're using. Maybe it's oversimplifying, but let's start with a definition of Office Suite.
Okay, I'll take an amateur shot at that. An Office Suite is a set of applications designed for typical tasks that would need to be done in an office, right?
Yep, you got it.
Okay, since they're part of a suite, those applications work together, like in an integrated way.
Mm-hmm.
And I would think that most Office Suites include like a word processor for documents and letters, a spreadsheet for analyzing numbers, and what? An application for giving presentations.
Right. In the Microsoft Office Suite, the word processor is called Word.
Word.
The spreadsheet is called Excel, and the presentation software is called PowerPoint. In OpenOffice, the word processor is called Writer, the spreadsheet, Calc, and the presentation software, impress. In KOffice, another office suite, the word processor is called AbbeyWord. We talked about that a couple of episodes ago. The spreadsheet is called KSpread, and the presentation software is KPresenter. These are just the basic components of these office suites. Most office suites contain other applications from calendars to databases and beyond.
Okay, cool. I don't think we should try to teach people how to use a word processor or spreadsheet or any of that stuff. But maybe we can answer some more advanced questions about features our listeners might find useful. Before we do that, why would the average guy, non-business user like me, need to use an office suite at all?
Well, as an average user, you might use a word processor to create things like letters, resumes, cover sheets for faxes, papers for school if you're a student, CD labels, or anything you might want to print on paper.
Okay.
You might even use it to create a brochure for your home-based business if you have one. You might use a spreadsheet to calculate your home budget if you're not using a home finance program. And you might use presentation software to present a thesis in school or to display your vacation or holiday pictures in a slideshow format or for displaying visual aids when presenting at your local Linux user group. Certainly using calendars, email applications, and contact management address books is something many average people would want to use as well.
Sure. Okay, I get it. The word processor is the component I use the most. One thing I'd like to know is this. When I'm using a word processor like OpenOffice Writer, I add words that the spell checker doesn't recognize to its custom dictionary. Hopefully they're spelled right. I'd like to know how to find and save all those custom spellings so that if I install a different Linux distribution on my computer, I don't have to teach the spell checker all over again.
Right. You can easily move all of your OpenOffice settings, including the custom dictionary, from a Linux PC or even a Windows PC to your new Linux distribution if you like. We have an article on our website, and I'll include a link in our show notes. You can use these instructions to move all of your saved preferences, document templates, and so on for OpenOffice 2.0 and later between one computer and another, whether you're running Windows or Linux. And I'll give instructions on where to find the directory you want to move for each of these. To locate the folder in Windows or the directory in Linux, you'll need to look for a specific folder or directory in a specific path. On a Linux computer, the path to your hidden OpenOffice directory is usually something like one of these, depending on your distribution. It's either a .openoffice.org2 directory in your home directory, or it'll be a .000-2.0 directory. It'll be one of those two. Remember that directories in Linux that begin with a dot or a period are normally hidden directories. To display the normally hidden directories, like the OpenOffice directory, in Linux, GNOME, or KDE, go to the File Manager and select the View menu. You'll find a selection there for displaying hidden directories. Choose that selection and the hidden directories will be displayed. If you're moving from a Windows XP or Windows 2000 computer, and you're moving your settings from OpenOffice on one of those platforms, the path you're going to look for is in your Documents and Settings folder. Look for a folder with your username, and then within that folder, find Application Data, and then you'll find within that folder the OpenOffice.org2 folder. That's the one you're going to want to move to your other computer. If you're moving from Windows 95, 98, or ME, the path is a little bit different, and we'll have all of these paths written out in the show notes and in the article for you. You copy the entire contents of the folder, once you've found it, from the old computer into the appropriate location on the new one. When you open one of the OpenOffice applications, like Writer, on the new computer, you'll see everything as it was on the old computer.
Cool. Now, hopefully when I add a new word to the dictionary, I've spelled it right. What happens if I find out that I've made some really obvious mistakes? Is there a way to get in there and correct the dictionary, to edit the dictionary?
Yes, there is a way to edit the dictionary in OpenOffice, and we'll give you some step-by-steps in an article that we have on our website. But let me quickly run through the step-by-steps here for our listening audience as well. To edit the OpenOffice dictionary, the first thing you do is open the OpenOffice Writer application. From the menus, select Tools, Options, Language Settings, and then Writing Aids. Select the user-defined dictionary you want to edit, because there can be more than one user-defined dictionary in OpenOffice. Yeah. And click the Edit button. You can select an existing word and delete it, or you can add a new one. So to edit, you don't actually edit the spelling of a misspelled word. You delete the incorrect one and add a new one in spelled correctly.
Okay, excellent. I'm sure our listeners will be able to use that. The average user might accidentally save a misspelling without knowing it. It might be good to use these instructions from time to time to check your dictionary, just to be sure you haven't accidentally included a misspelling.
That's a great idea, Tom.
Okay, now, I don't use spreadsheets a lot, but in previous episodes, macros have been mentioned as a source of problems when sharing between OpenOffice and Microsoft Office. We should cover that. I know that macros are a close-up feature on my camera. What is it when we talk about word processors? Does OpenOffice have them too, but different somehow?
Okay, well, let's cover a definition of macros.
Okay.
Both Microsoft Office and OpenOffice have them. They're just not compatible with one another. Macros are a way of automating keystrokes. You record a macro by starting the macro recorder, typing through the keystrokes that you want to make, whether those are commands or simple typing or menu selections or whatever, and then stop the recorder. You can play back those macros that you've recorded and automate whatever it is you want to do. You can do that through keyboard shortcuts that you assign to the macro, or you can even display a little button on the screen that you can click with the mouse and run the macro.
Okay, so you could like hit Control-Alt-J and have it do a spell check.
Exactly. Or you might have perhaps a signature at the bottom of a page or something, and you may have that recorded in a macro.
Oh, and that's so handy. You might,
yeah, so you then just assign that to whatever the keystrokes are you want. Let's say Control-Alt-S for signature or something like that. You just type Control-Alt-S, and it types in your entire signature for you.
Wow, I really like that. I'm going to use it.
Yeah. Now, as I said, both Microsoft Office and OpenOffice have macros. They just aren't compatible with one another. In Microsoft Office, the macros are typically a version of Microsoft's Visual Basic. In OpenOffice, they're implemented entirely differently. You can't really convert macros from one Office suite to another, at least from Microsoft Office to OpenOffice.org. I've also recently heard that the Novell version of OpenOffice may be able to convert them, but I'm not actually sure that that's true.
Okay.
We'll have a link in our show notes to a list of resources for using macros in OpenOffice.org for those of our listeners who are interested. You might want to take a look at that too, Tom.
Yeah, I will. Thanks.
One component of OpenOffice that often gets overlooked by computer users who are switching from Microsoft Office is the Navigator. This powerful little tool gets overlooked because there's nothing like it in the Microsoft product. Do you use it, Tom?
No, see, here I am being the newbie again. I'm Robin to your Batman. I have no idea what you're talking about, but I will check it out.
Okay, well, let me give you a little overview here. You can open the Navigator in OpenOffice by using the navigator icon in the icon bar. In the Windows version of OpenOffice, it, I believe, if I remember correctly, looks like a little compass. In the Linux version, it's a bluish colored cross, looks like a plus sign sort of cross with pointed ends on it. So that's the navigator icon. If you click on that, it opens the navigator. The navigator is a quick and easy way of seeing things like formatting and special objects in your document and navigating directly to them. This very handy tool lists such things in your document as headings, graphics, hyperlinks you may have put in there to websites, notes, and many more things as well. It also lets you jump or navigate directly to each of those objects in your document without having to scroll up and down searching for them. That comes in pretty handy when you're trying to edit your documents.
Okay, kind of like reveal code in some of the older processes. Okay.
Exactly.
Yeah, it sounds like it'd be great for someone writing a newsletter or creating a business document. And it'd save a lot of time and keep you organized if you spend a good deal of time editing long or complex documents, right?
Exactly, Tom.
Okay, so we've given some information about some of the more advanced features of Office Suites. And I believe that you have prepared some online resources for people who want to know more.
Of course I have. There are too many to go through in a lot of detail, and some of the URLs are pretty long. But let me just mention that we'll have those links in our show notes, as always. We'll have links to the OpenOffice.org forum. There's a link to tutorials for OpenOffice, and as well, a website with extras for OpenOffice, some things like document templates and things like that.
Okay.
That might be very useful. We have a link to an article on switching to OpenOffice.org that might be of interest to people who are used to using other Office suites. And we also have a link to a blog from Solveig Hoglund, I hope that's how you pronounce her name.
Probably not.
Who is, yeah, knowing me, you're right. She's a consultant and trainer on OpenOffice. She has a lot of links on her site as well to other resources, so I'm going to let her site be our exhaustive list of things that might be of interest to people using OpenOffice for the first time.
Okay, great. And of course, we have the OpenOffice documentation site listed there too, documentation.openoffice.org, right?
That's exactly right. Okay, so I think now we should have our software pick of the month. What do you think, Tom?
Yeah, Larry, that's a good idea. And I've got one. My pick for this month is an open source plugin for Firefox called AdBlock Plus. Now, a lot of listeners are already using AdBlocker without the plus. That's fine. How it works is, when you see an ad, you tag it. Then you never see it again. With the plus version, you see an ad, tag it, and nobody ever sees it again if they're running the plus program. Sweet. There's some kind of a database somewhere that remembers that someone marked that as an ad and everyone gets the benefit. And I've been using this thing for 2 or 3 months and haven't seen a single annoying ad. And that's my pick. You can find it at adblockplus.net.
Wow, that sounds like a good plugin, Tom.
I like it.
Yeah. Well, my pick this month is something simple as well. It's called KSnapshot.
Oh.
And of course, it's in KDE. There's a similar application for GNOME called GNOME Screenshot, but KSnapshot is a KDE application. It lets you capture screenshots. Simple. All you have to do to start the application is to press the print screen key on your keyboard. That's it. You can change the mode in the little window that pops up so that you can capture the whole screen, just one window, or a region of the screen that you select using your mouse. You can save the screen capture to the clipboard. You can also paste it into another application directly from KSnapshot, or you can print it or save it as a file right from the KSnapshot window. If you have KDE, it's already installed. Just press the print screen key.
Super. Now in GNOME, by default, at least with Ubuntu, when you hit print screen, it captures the screen and gives you the option to save it to a file. Or if you hit Alt print screen, it captures just the application window that you happen to be looking at. But I like all those other features. I'm going to try it out.
Yeah, the behavior that you described under GNOME is very much like the way Windows handles screen captures.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Nothing new to learn.
So, right, exactly. Now, KSnapshot gives you a lot more features.
Well, yeah, I like that. And you can select an area of the screen, huh?
Mm-hmm.
What I've been doing is taking a snapshot, and then if I want to select an area, GIMPing it.
Yeah, and so this just takes that extra little step out of there, and sometimes it's not such a little step.
Right. It can be a big step. And by the way, I should explain that GIMP, G-I-M-P, is a Photoshop-like product for Linux.
Yep, and it's really good.
It is.
Yeah, that might be a software pick of the month for the future. Speaking of the future, in our next episode, we have listener feedback, as always.
And until then, you can go to the articles and show notes at goinglinux.com for more information and detailed instructions, sometimes with screenshots.
Yes, and I'm putting more screenshots in those articles as we speak. Email us with comments, questions, and suggestions. Send us an audio comment. We'll play it on the show. You can reach us at goinglinux@gmail.com.
Yep, and you can also subscribe to the podcast to get future episodes delivered automatically. Instructions are on the website.
Thanks for listening.
Talk to you later.
Music provided by Mark Blasco at podcastthemes.com.